Good morning. My name's Dave, and welcome to Insights for Health, an evidence-based radio show providing up-to-date information on various health topics. Insights for Health is brought to you by The Healthy Habit at 451 St. Clair Street in Chatham, with a 23-year tradition of quality nutritional supplements and healthcare products at everyday low prices. So we can help you, help yourself, live healthy, live wise, live strong to your fullest potential, one step at a time. Our topic today is depression, anxiety, and insomnia. And this is part one of two shows. The second show taking place next month on December 19th. And our guest today is Dr. Philip Rashotis. Good morning, Dr. Philip. Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning, Dave. Thank you very much for having me.
Dr. Philip graduated in 2004 from the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine. And that was preceded by an undergraduate degree and a master's degree in nutritional sciences, both from the University of Guelph. In addition to his own practice, Philip is an associate professor teaching clinical nutrition at the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine, and is also a contributing author to various articles for the Integrated Healthcare Practitioners magazine. So good to have you again, Dr. Philip.
So it really is a treat to be here. It's an important topic we're here to discuss, and it's a time of year when people really start to feel its effects.
Yeah, so depression, anxiety, and insomnia just doesn't seem to apply to a certain age group or a group of people.
Absolutely not. We have people coming to the office from all ages, from as young as 3 or 4 years old, right up through into their 80s.
So what proportion of Canadians would be suffering from this mental health situation?
Absolutely. This has become a bit of an epidemic. You know, it's about 1 in 10 adults are medicated on a prescription antidepressant in Canada. About 1 in 20 are on an antipsychotic. And about 1 in 20 are on a class of medication called benzodiazepine. So you add that up, we have about 1 in 5 Canadians that are medicated for some sort of mental health issue. And estimates are that we're only treating about half of those who require treatment.
So there's a lot of concerns with the side effects of those medications.
We've already rhymed off the three classes. Antidepressant, a lot of people have heard of them, and they are the most common. Antipsychotic is a much more potent class, and that's usually used for situations like schizophrenia, also for bipolar. You wouldn't really use an antidepressant to treat bipolar generally. You would go with the antipsychotic class. And the benzodiazepines are principally used for anxiety or insomnia. They're very fast-acting. They're quite highly addictive, and they are a common drug of abuse. If you've heard of people taking lorazepam, Ativan, clonazepam, these are the common benzodiazepine medications.
So a lot of... Well, the addictive side of that, how do you take that and not become addicted then?
It's almost impossible. We see a lot of that in practice of people, for example, 20 years ago, there was a major life crisis. You know, I witnessed something horrible or this happened and I was given an antidepressant. I'm grateful for it. It was very helpful. But that was 20 years ago. I'd really like to try to come off of this medication. That is a really, really, really difficult thing to achieve. And we're only successful with it at best maybe half of the times. And it takes a very long time to try to get someone, should they be choosing to want to come off of that medication, it takes a long time to achieve. So I think these are medications that we're prescribing a lot of. We are prescribing 5 times more antidepressants than we were during a period 15 years ago. And that's quite an alarming fact when you think about it. And I don't think many people being prescribed these medications are being adequately warned about what the side effects are.
So depression, anxiety, and insomnia, why are they grouped together? I would look at them and think that's three different situations.
Absolutely, and it's a great question. There's a big fancy word called comorbidity, and it simply means bad things that happen together. A comorbidity that people are really usually familiar with is called metabolic syndrome. So that's where you see basically diabetes plus high cholesterol plus high blood pressure happening together. So that's a comorbidity. In the world of mental health, depression, anxiety, and insomnia are a really common comorbidity. It's in fact rare to see any one of these things happening on their own. The person's principal complaint may be depression, but as you talk to them, you find that, oh, indeed, they are suffering from some anxiety and they're not sleeping that well. The person's principal concern might be insomnia, but you keep speaking to them and, oh, they do have depression as well. So when we're working with people in this area, if they're saying my principal concern is depression, one of our main targets is to make them sleep better. As you get somebody sleeping better, their mood improves. You get somebody sleeping better, they feel less anxious. So these three things are really intertwined, and it's much more appropriate to talk about them in combination than it would be to address any one of them in isolation.
So insomnia isn't just one night of restless sleeping, it's a continuous night after night?
Yeah, absolutely, a chronic problem. I mean, we're all going to have nights where, oh, you just got a bad night's sleep that night for whatever reason. Maybe you ate something that bugged you or there's something on your mind, but there's a lot of people, it's a huge proportion of the population, suffering chronically from waking many times at night or taking an hour or two to be able to fall asleep or just simply waking and not feeling rested.
Are there some natural medicines that can help someone that are taking prescription medicines?
Sure. So there's lots of that. We call the fancy word we use here is a formulary. In brief, look, if you're a hospital, there's 10,000 prescription medications on the planet, and a hospital is going to say, well, of the 10,000, the ones we're going to administer are these 2,000. So that's the hospital's formulary. So there's a wonderful formulary of natural medicines that we can use to help patients with a mental health problem. Some of them absolutely cannot be prescribed with any of the prescription medications, but some of them most certainly can. They've been reproducibly shown to be extremely safe to add to any prescription medication somebody in the mental health world may be taking, and they're very effective. You can certainly take them if you're not on a medication, and they help mood and anxiety and sleep. And if you're on a medication, they make that medication work better. So, you know, it's a matter of getting the right substances, committing to them for a period of time, 6, 8, 10, 12 weeks would be ideal. And generally, the impact is really, really profound when people do this.
So people go to a doctor. They have these conditions. They're prescribed a prescription. Over time, they find that they're doing pretty good with that prescription, but then if they try to get away from it, they have problems. They can't get off of it. I remember you saying one time that if someone comes to you that's depressed and not medicated, you can help them very easily. But if they're not depressed and medicated, you have a much tougher time with that.
With people who are taking medications, there's sort of three ways it goes. Number one is the ideal. You went in with the problem, you were prescribed the medication, you take it, and it works great for you. And it works great for you for years and years and years. Well, those usually aren't the people seeking help. Step two, and it's more common than you think, you take the medication, it's very helpful for you, but after 2, 3, 4, 5 years, it stops working. So even though you take it every day, you still have pretty significant symptoms of anxiety and depression. And step three, and it is alarmingly common, is that you take the medication and it really doesn't do much for you at all. So depending on where that individual is, so let's say, okay, they're taking it, a simple situation, they're taking it, it's helping, but they definitely still have symptoms. Okay, and that's where we turn and say, all right, well, you're on that medication, keep taking it, and here are some natural medicines we're going to add to it that are really going to help this situation. You're going to feel a lot better in a few weeks continuing your medication and adding these natural medicines to it. What I was describing as much more difficult to do, in practice, I find it much easier to work with somebody with even severe depression who's yet unmedicated versus they're medicated, they feel good, but they want to come off their drug. That is a setting that is really, really tough. And we do it, and it's just tough. It takes a lot of time, and it's usually pretty hard on the individual.
So what are some of these natural medicines that we can pursue to help us with these?
Absolutely. So the ones we're going to talk about today, and when we meet again in a month, we'll get into some other ones that people can take if they're not medicated. But the ones we're going to focus on today are, hey, I'm on a prescription, could be an antidepressant, could be an antipsychotic, could be a benzodiazepine, and I'd really like to add some natural things to this to improve how I feel. The single most important is fish oil, and it's very important to distinguish the following. Fish oil has two active ingredients, EPA and DHA. They can both be helpful in different areas, but in the world of mental health, that oil must have much more EPA than DHA. The science is very clear on this. There's over 45 human studies of fish oil for depression. Collectively, there's over 150 human studies of fish oil for various other types of mental health concerns. And we very clearly know the oil must have much more EPA than DHA to be of benefit to symptoms of mental health. You're trying to target for an adult about 1,000 milligrams of EPA per day, which is not a large dose at all. Many products can deliver that with one pill a day. One or two deliver it with one pill. Some deliver it with two pills a day. It's quite reasonable to do. And it's extremely effective. My favorite study on fish oil took people with major depression, gave group one high EPA, 1,000 milligrams a day, group two gave them Prozac, and group three gave them both EPA and Prozac. A response meant you had at least a 50% improvement in your symptoms. 56% of people given fish oil, 50% of people given Prozac, and 81% of people given both had a response. And that shows you fish oil on its own is a very effective antidepressant, and that you combine it with an antidepressant, and now the combination seems to be more effective than either one alone. So number one on the list, high EPA fish oil. Number two, very simply, vitamin D. If you compare 1,000 people with a mental health diagnosis to 1,000 otherwise healthy people, the people with the mental health diagnosis generally have lower levels of vitamin D in their blood. If you take people with a mental health diagnosis and you supplement them with vitamin D, after a few weeks, generally, they feel better. This has been shown in at least a dozen human studies. And furthermore, you take people on an antidepressant who still have symptoms of depression and add vitamin D, and you dramatically improve their mood. So again, ultra safe to combine with prescriptions, very, very safe otherwise. Lots of side benefits, and I'd almost like to backtrack because that applies to fish oil too. That's the beauty of generally the realm of natural medicine. You take this substance, and we don't have to start rhyming off a list of side effects. We now get to rhyme off a list of side benefits. The side benefits of fish oil, it reduces risk of fatal heart attack, it reduces levels of harmful cholesterol, it raises levels of good cholesterol, it reduces joint pain if you're suffering that. This is the side effect profile of fish oil. Likewise with vitamin D, it reduces your risk of infection, like getting a common cold, it reduces risk of several cancers, it reduces risk of heart disease, and with new guidelines about plasma levels of vitamin D, essentially every single Canadian is deficient in D unless they're supplementing it. So we're using these really, really simple, safe tools that in combination are achieving really dramatic outcomes for our patients suffering with mental health problems. I got two more on the list, Dave. Yeah, Did you want to chime in there or should I keep going?
Well, let's take a quick commercial break and then we'll come back and you can pick up your thought.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Okay.